there, and there are parts of the world, and maybe or the United States even specifically, when we lived in New Mexico, there are a lot of towns in the state of New Mexico, just to our west a few hours, that don't have a Bible-preaching church, which is hard for us to imagine, but that's the truth. So we're so thankful for the efforts of these missionaries, and we're so thankful that we're able to play a small role in those efforts, and know that the Holy Spirit leads people to salvation in Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles today, let's go to John chapter 8. If you've been here for the last several weeks, you could probably guess we're still in John chapter 8. We've camped out here for a long time, been the same conversation for several weeks, and so I would almost apologize for rehashing some of the same themes, but you know what? I'm not gonna, because we're going through the book, and that's what's in the book, right? That's what the Word of God has for us. And I will just say this, if you see me coughing and wince in pain, I have a good little cough and my back hurts. So when I cough, it makes my back hurt. Okay, can anybody testify to that this morning? Anybody? Okay, all right. I figured I wasn't the only one with that experience. So my back is feeling better. It's just when I cough that it bothers me. Okay, so I'm all right. But if you see that, we'll just carry on. John chapter 8, verse 21 is where we'll begin this one. So he said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself, since he says, where I am going, you cannot come? He said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. We'll pause reading there for today. And this is a passage, a portion of John chapter 8 that is considered a very difficult passage. Not necessarily difficult to interpret, but just hard words from the Lord Jesus. And we'll go back up to verse 21. He says, here, just this statement here, you will die in your sin. That is a tough statement from the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly, we rejoice at the very end of this passage in verse 30 that some of the people that heard what he was saying did believe. But this morning, we're going to talk about three different things. And the first is just the place of origin. Now, we know where the Lord Jesus came from, didn't we? We've already gone through this in the last couple of weeks in this same passage, or in the same chapter, the same conversation with these Pharisees who didn't believe. Remember, they didn't think Jesus was the Messiah for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons was they didn't take the time to understand that he was born in Bethlehem. Okay, they thought, well, there's no prophet that comes from where you grew up. Okay, even though there were prophets in the Old Testament that came from Jesus's hometown, they were saying you're not from Bethlehem, and the truth was he was from Bethlehem. But we know ultimately Jesus's origin, if you even say Jesus has an origin, because Jesus was never created. He's always been. Isn't that right? He is God. He's God the Son. But Jesus is saying to these Pharisees, you're from below, I'm from above. And it's interesting when you get into this passage a little deeper. Why exactly is this the language that Jesus uses? Jesus tells them for about the third time in this conversation, where I'm going, you cannot come. And Jesus is talking about his ascension into heaven that would happen about 6 months from then. And Jesus is saying you can't come for one reason, because you'll die in your sins. And the reason that they would die in their sins and not go to heaven was because they didn't follow Jesus. They didn't follow Jesus on this earth. They won't follow him into eternity, okay, which is still true today. Jesus is telling them, you cannot go where I am going, and you'll die in your sins. And then you notice what the Pharisees say. Instead of checking their own hearts or discussing amongst themselves, you know what the first thing they go to is? Well, what's Jesus going to do? Kill himself? Did you see that there in John chapter 8? And here's why they go to this. In their beliefs system, Judaism and certainly the slant of the day in Jesus' time, the belief was that the lowest section of Hades or the lowest section of hell for a Jewish person was reserved for somebody that took their own life. That's certainly a thought today, even in some circles in 2020 in the United States of America, that the act of taking one's life is an automatic sentence to eternity separated from God and hell. Okay? There is that idea even today. A lot of it comes from, in our world today, Judas Iscariot. Okay? Considered the ultimate betrayer, betrayed the Lord Jesus himself. And if you go back and if you've taken an ancient world lit class or you just like to read the classics, okay, and I haven't come across a lot of people that really enjoy reading the classics, so, but if you like that and you read the Divine Comedy, also known as Dante's Inferno, let me just say this, the Divine Comedy is not funny, okay? If you're looking for a light read, it's not what it means. But in Dante's Inferno, Dante is led through the levels of hell. This is not scripture, okay? So please don't confuse this with being scripture. Led through the levels of hell, and at the very deepest level of hell are those that are betrayers, those that are traitors. And Judas Iscariot is there. Brutus, who betrayed Julius Caesar, is supposedly there, and all of that stuff. There is still that idea today, prevalent even in the United States of America, that taking one's own life is an automatic sentence to eternity in hell separated from God. Can I just tell you this? That is not in the Bible. Okay? I want to be clear on that. Yes, it's a tragic thing, and yes, I believe it's the wrong thing, but it is not in the Bible that that is a guaranteed sentence to be separated from God forever. It's not in there. Okay? It's just not. So I hope, in some ways, because with this many people in this room, there's no doubt in my mind that some of us have been touched by suicide fairly closely. Okay? That's just the way it is. That's how stats are. Okay? That is not a biblical doctrine by any means. Now, we could talk more about that, but maybe at a later date and a later time. But here's what the Pharisees are saying. They're saying, Jesus, listen to their self-righteousness. Listen to their pride. They're saying, Jesus, we can't follow you where you go because we're definitely going to heaven. And if you're talking about taking your own life, you're not. So that's why we're not going to end up in the same place. Do you hear the pride? Do you hear the self-righteousness in that? That they're definitely because they know more than anybody else. And they certainly did know Scripture. And honestly, in some ways, we should envy their knowledge of Scripture. They didn't apply it very well often, but they were saying, Jesus, what's he talking about? Is he going to take his life? Well, certainly we wouldn't follow him to the lowest depths of eternity separated from God because we're going to heaven. Then Jesus, this is why he uses this phrase, and he says, no. I'm from above. You're the ones that are from below. Now, is Jesus saying that these people within earshot are condemned to hell? No, because verse 30, we read it, didn't we? Some of the people that heard what Jesus said believed. Isn't that good news? Think about the worst person you've ever met. Okay, don't name them out loud. Okay, that wouldn't be good for anybody. Think about the worst sinner you've ever come across. There is hope for that sinner in Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news? Now, I've said it several times in the last few months, and I believe it. I think it's true that you and I really should feel like we're the worst sinner we've ever known. Okay, that kind of keeps us grounded, kind of keeps us with the right idea. But certainly, if you think about just the villains of history, they would even have hope in Jesus Christ if they knew Jesus as Savior. So Jesus is not telling them that you have no hope. Jesus is simply separating them, saying, I am from above, literally from above. He is sent from heaven to earth. They couldn't follow him because they would die in their sins. Well, let's continue reading here. This is verse 23. He said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Listen to what Jesus says here. For unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. I'm going to skip over to Isaiah, go backwards to the Old Testament. I'm going to go to Isaiah 41 and read verses 10 through 13. Okay, you can follow me there, or you can just listen along. But did you see what Jesus said? You believe that I am He. In a couple of weeks, Jesus is going to make a statement to these same guys that I am. To say before Abraham was, I am, which just got them all riled up. We've talked about that several times. But here Jesus is saying, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Well, when we say He, what exactly is Jesus talking about? Who is Jesus talking about? This is Isaiah 41, verses 10 through 13. And this is the exact same language found in this passage that is found in John chapter 8, statement of I am He. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all who are incensed against you shall be put to shame and confounded. Those who strive against you shall be nothing and shall perish. You shall seek those who contend with you, but you shall not find them. Those who war against you shall be as nothing at all. For I, the Lord God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you. There at the very end, it is I. That is the same language as Jesus in John chapter 8 saying, unless you believe that I am He. What's Jesus saying? He is, again, asserting to these Pharisees who do not believe that He is the Messiah. He is asserting to them that not only is He the Messiah, He is God. Unless you believe I am He, you will die in your sins. How many times in your years here on earth have you sinned against the Lord? Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. Okay? The truth is this. Even today, 2,000 years after this conversation that Jesus was having here, just after the Feast of Booths with these Pharisees, the truth is this, that if I were to die in my sin today, I would spend an eternity separated from God in a place that Jesus Himself refers to as hell. But you know what? Today I stand before you as a man who's been forgiven of all of his sins. Not because of anything that I've done, in spite of all the things that I've done. Okay? We talked about being lost in Sunday school this morning. I was lost. I was dead in my trespasses and sin, but the Lord made me alive. I have hope. Isn't that good news? Hope forevermore, and I hope you do as well. But the truth is this. If you've been forgiven, you're forgiven. How forgiven are you? Really, really forgiven. Okay? You'll never not be forgiven. Okay? Do you know, isn't that a glorious truth to know this morning? You will never be unforgiven. There'll be no take backs. Okay? You are always forgiven. And when you pass, you know what? Hey, heaven is your home. Eternity not separated, but eternity with the Lord. But if you die in your sins, truth still holds it. You'll be separated from the Lord. So that is Jesus' place of origin. He is from above. And I am trying to get through these kind of quick this morning, so bear with me. Verse 25, let's read it again. Now we're going to talk about how Jesus was preaching His Father's words. So they said to Him, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge. But He who sent me is true, and I declare to the world that I have heard from Him. They did not understand what He had been speaking to them, that He had been speaking to them about the Father. Okay, so in all this, the Pharisees who know their Old Testament, they know their Scripture, certainly they wouldn't have called it the Old Testament, but they know their Scripture, they know their beliefs, and they know the law of Moses, and we've talked about this, they love the law of Moses so much they thought they would enact some of their own laws, correct? You remember all of that. And even through all of this, they don't recognize that what Jesus is saying is coming from the Father. Did you see that there in verse 27? They didn't know that He had been talking to them from just preaching what His Father had said. Why is that? Remember last week and the week before, if you don't have Jesus, you don't have the Father either. If they weren't listening to Jesus, then they weren't hearing the Father. In spite of all the things that they knew, Jesus is preaching here, and they say, "Who are you? If you are He," remember He says, "unless you believe I am He," and they're saying, "Okay, if you're He, who exactly are you as He?" And they're not asking that, really trying to seek to find out who Jesus is. What they're really saying is, "Who do you think you are, Jesus? How dare you tell us these things that we would die in our sins?" That's their mindset. Who are you to judge us? Who are you to tell us what to do? And certainly for you and I this morning as Christians, if you're a believer this morning, we would say, well, we do what He says, or at least we should do what He says, because of who He is. You ever as a parent ever pulled this to do something and you just throw out the "because I said so"? Okay, that works. Okay, years ago I didn't think that was right, but now I've come to the other side and I think that's okay. Position of authority, because I said so. Isn't that right? To what Jesus would say, well, certainly if I have authority as an earthly father, doesn't Jesus, who's speaking on the authority of God the Father, doesn't, when Jesus says something, we should say, okay, because of who you are, I'm going to obey. Amen? See, Jesus here, and I think this is a good thing to point out. Jesus says this. Remember just earlier last week, we talked about how He hadn't come to judge, but then in verse 26, He says, "I have much to say about you." Okay, now that would certainly scare you if you're one of these Pharisees, right? Jesus says, "I got a bunch to say to you people, all right? And much to judge." He says, "Here, I have much to judge." And I want to point out this fact here that, yes, there is judgment. Jesus judges righteously. We talked about that last week. But I also want to point you back to the Old Testament. Because sometimes we have this idea that God somehow shifted between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and that in the Old Testament He was mean-spirited and a dictator and totalitarian and all of that type of thing. And then somewhere in between that 400 years between the Old and New Testament, He got soft or something like that. Well, that's not true, okay? It's very obvious from the Scripture that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But even listen way back to the book of Ezekiel, and I won't turn to it this morning, but I'll paraphrase it for you. God in the book of Ezekiel, even against these pagan nations, says, "I would rather them repent and turn than have them perish." Think about that. Think about the things that you know about some of the Old Testament cultures that the Jewish people were living around, the pagan practices, the worship not only of idols, but also even human sacrifice and things of that nature. And God says, I would prefer them to get right than to perish. Now that sounds like from a loving God. Jesus here, yes, He's got much to say about the Pharisees and He's got much to judge, but I don't think He revels in it. I don't think He looks forward to that. He would rather them, in verse 30, like some of them did, He would rather them believe. He's preaching His Father's word. Okay, let's go to the last three verses. And here He goes from the place of origin to preaching His Father's words to pleasing His Father. Verse 28. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do things that are pleasing to Him." And as He was saying these things, many believed in Him. You see here, Jesus says, "You don't know who I am. You're not listening to me, but when I am lifted up," and He doesn't mean when He is praised. Jesus is literally points after this conversation when He would be lifted up on the cross of Calvary. He says, "Then you'll know." Remember, even His brothers, the Gospel of John tells us early on in chapter 2, I believe it is, that even His brothers didn't fully believe until after the resurrection. But Jesus is saying, after that fact, then you'll know who I am. Then you'll know that I am He, the one we talked about. We read that from Isaiah chapter 41. You'll know that I am Me, and I do these on the authority of My Father. And then He says this at the end of 29, I always do the things that are pleasing to Him. Jesus was, certainly He had been given a job, a role. He was God, and he was 100% man here on earth. Certainly Jesus said things along the lines of he came to seek and save that which was lost. But also Jesus' aim on earth was to please his Father. You know, and as believers, is that far off what our role should be here on earth, to please the creator of the universe? Here's a few verses from the Bible. This is Romans 8:8. It says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So you would certainly apply this to these Pharisees, because Jesus himself said, I'm not of this world, you are of this world. And I think you can make, they were in their flesh pretty easily. And so in this manner, those that were not believers, those that were refusing to follow Jesus, were in their flesh and were not pleasing God. Romans 15:1. We who are strong have an obligation with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Okay, 2 Corinthians, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. Galatians 1, for am I now seeking the approval of man or God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Remember, we obey Jesus because of who he is. So if we obey man, and certainly the Bible, I know we could chase this down for a while too, and we won't this morning. The Bible talks about us as Christians living under authority, recognizing that authority has been given by God. But when the authority of man contradicts what the Lord has said, well, we go with what the Lord has said every time. That's appropriate and that's right. Why do we do that? Because we appeal and we obey the higher authority, which is always the Lord himself. Well, I won't read the rest of these passages, but the truth is this. It is fascinating. My words fail to describe, to know being with this cough and backache. You know, you feel like it's closer than it was a couple days ago, right? But when this, I will not die in my sin. I won't go to heaven because I'm a Baptist preacher. I heard a Baptist preacher one time say he'd go to heaven in spite of that. Okay, there may be some truth in that. I'm not going to go because of St. Guy or anything like that. It's all because of what Jesus has done. I'm a born and raised Texan, and you know, pick myself up by my bootstraps and all that type of thing. But man, my good is just simply not good enough. I got to have the Lord Jesus. And this morning, the truth is, we hit on it earlier, that if you don't know Jesus, that when you die, you will die in your sins, and where Jesus is, you can't go. That's the truth. That's why I'm talking about guys that have been dead for a couple hundred years, their writings on this passage, and they called this one of the hardest passages in all the New Testament, just because of the bluntness of Jesus and when he makes statements like that. But we know that when Jesus says things like that, we know that they're true, don't we? Because of who he is, because of the authority with which he speaks, the authority from God the Father. There's this really fantastic truth that Jesus still, 2,000 years after this conversation, Jesus still forgives the worst of the worst. I don't know about to you, but that's good news to me. He still forgives. You may say, well, you don't know what I've done. I do not know what you've done. And there's another little verse to that song. I don't want to know what you've done. Okay? But Jesus knows everything. Also, in Sunday school, we talk about the prodigal son and the idea that when we leave, you know, we might rehearse when we come back to God, when we come to God even initially the first time we've done or confessed to a teacher or maybe an employer, something of those nature. But how did the prodigal son's father react? And they had a party, didn't they? They rejoiced. So if you don't know Jesus and there's that tug at you today, that's the Holy Spirit telling you that you need to know Jesus. Okay? Not one person in here that knows Christ would say they regret coming to know Jesus as Savior. You need to know Jesus. If you're a believer, maybe you've walked away a little bit. Maybe you've abandoned the things of the faith. I got some good news for you. Your ignorance has already been taken into account by God. You can come back. Isn't that good news? He knows who he's dealing with. Okay, he knows you better than you know yourself. It's good news. It is good news. Literally, the gospel means good news. This morning we'll give you a chance to respond, the time of invitation, whatever God has laid on your heart. And for a believer, I would even say this is an appropriate time for you just to rejoice and praise the name of God for saving you from all your sins. Okay? This is an appropriate time. If you don't know Jesus, you feel that tug. The Bible says it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. God is not mad at you. This is what he wants for you, and he knows better than you do. He has your long-term best interest in mind. So I would just tell you, hey, I'd love to talk to you about that this morning. I'd love to talk to you about that at any time. And for the believer that says, maybe I've strayed a little bit, maybe I've been the prodigal and said, you know what, Dad, I would rather have your stuff, I'd rather have your money than a relationship with you. Just know that God would react just the way the prodigal's father did, and it would be celebration at your return. As Josiah and Janet come to lead us in a song of invitation, if you would, let's stand together. And we'll begin preparing for baptism this morning, which is exciting as well. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Whatever God has laid on your heart, I'll just implore you to be obedient to that call. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. God, thank you for the truth that is your word. God, thank you that we know where you're from. We know that you're from above, and we're not like you. You're better than us. We can't compete with you and wouldn't even try. God, we know that today, after the crucifixion, the resurrection, and your ascension back into heaven, there you are, seated at the right hand of God, and we believe you'll return one day. We don't know when that will be, but we believe that. God, I pray that as Christians, we would just live a life of joy and anticipation of that, knowing that even if our bodies were to die today, that we would not die in our sins, or we would be thankful for your grace and for your mercy. God, if there's some today that don't know you and you're tugging at their heart, the Holy Spirit is convicting them of their sin, God, I pray that today would be the day that they would make a decision. Or at least pursue it, Lord. They would at least talk to us about it. Talk to somebody, myself, or somebody that they know and trust. God, for the believer that is saved, for the believer that is forgiven, that will not die in their sins because you've never unforgiven anybody. God, but they've strayed and gone their own way and done some of that foolish living as the prodigal did. I pray they'd come home, God, and they would receive celebration and wide open arms from you. We're thankful for that truth. Lord, we thank you for doing all the good for us. God, we'd be without hope without Jesus Christ. This morning, we just say thank you. Josiah, come lead us in a